Today, equal justice in law enforcement. My guest is Harold Franklin. He's the president of the Atlanta Bar Association, also a partner at King & Spalding, and in terms of full disclosure, an old friend. Harold Franklin, you have a big symposium coming up that the Atlanta Bar Association has organized. It's this Thursday. It is the Equal Justice in Law Enforcement Symposium taking place at Georgia State. Tell me about it, and then tell me why you're doing it.
The Atlanta Bar Association is the largest voluntary bar association in the Southeast United States. We are very active here in Metro Atlanta, and the Equal Justice in Law Enforcement Initiative is an initiative that I started last year when I became Atlanta Bar Association president. It was something that was very important to me that we engage the legal community in terms of how we can be helpful in the issues that our nation is confronting involving law enforcement and the shootings of unarmed, nonviolent citizens. We, of course, as lawyers, are a bridge between the law enforcement community and citizens. We want to support the outstanding work of so many in law enforcement who risk life and limb every day to keep us all safe, but also to protect the civil rights of citizens. And in light of all that we have seen across the country, I really wanted to get the legal community, lawyers, engaged on this issue and on this problem and being a part of the solution.
When you talk about what's been going on around the country, obviously you're referencing Ferguson and Michael Brown and Baltimore and Freddie Gray and so on and so on. What are the core things that you'll be talking about at the symposium, and who are some of the folks who will be talking? If the general audience hasn't heard of them, tell me why they're important.
Absolutely. So this program, I'm proud that we have been able to assemble really the nation's leaders, thought leaders, folks who are preeminent in this subject area, and that subject area is law enforcement and the use of force. The issue that we're discussing, of course, is when there is an encounter between law enforcement and a citizen. What is the outcome of that encounter? We have seen, unfortunately, across the country, incidents, and even here in Georgia, involving allegations of excessive force or inappropriate use of force, some of which has resulted in serious bodily injury or even worse, in death. And so I think that what is different today, and there are many studies, but some say that what we are seeing in Ferguson and in so many other places, that it is not more common, but that what is different is technology has evolved and we have cell phones, and that what before used to be a swearing contest between what law enforcement and the citizen said is now captured on video. And so that is bringing it really to the forefront.
Whether it's body cameras, whether it's cameras in cars, or just citizens who have cameras.
Yes, all of those are happening. Of course, body cameras are being used a lot more often by local police departments. But of course, what I'm referring to primarily is cell phones.
Yep.
And the ability of every person to become a cameraman or someone who operates a camera. And so that is capturing the types of disturbing images and scenarios that we have heard about for many years. But now there is, unfortunately, proof that there are some instances in which law enforcement, that they are using excessive force, that citizens are not being, their constitutional rights are not being respected, and that, in fact, that there are some discriminatory policing practices that are taking place.
You know, this is, I'm sure you've gotten pushback for organizing this, because there's a wry smile on Harold's face as I ask this question. Because on one hand, police and work in extraordinarily difficult circumstances, and it's very easy to, after the fact, say, oh, they did something wrong. But in the heat of the moment, I've been out in civilian patrols. It's not an easy job, to say the least, and they work in danger. So when scrutiny is applied, it isn't necessarily enjoyed, and there's quite often pushback. What have you received? I mean, you have law enforcement in the symposium, judges, prosecutors, as well as people from the defense bar. What has happened? You know, have you gotten any pushback for organizing this?
Well, let me say this: I've been very pleased that we have gotten really a pretty broad groups that have agreed to be part of the solution. I think that everyone, that most people, recognize that when there is a problem, that we all need to work together to solve it. We certainly with the Atlanta Bar, I will say, and even personally, I'm a big supporter of law enforcement, but I also recognize that there are some bad apples in every profession.
And even lawyers?
Even lawyers.
And journalists. I'll just go there. Okay.
And so that is what we're about here. This is not about police bashing. I will tell you that the Atlanta Bar, we have a memorial in Woodruff Park for that really honors slain and injured officers. We also have a scholarship and a 5K race that we hold every year called the Legal Runaround that raises funds for the children of slain or injured officers. We do a lot to support the law enforcement community. So again, that's very important to us. It is also, though, important, and I think it's part of our duty as lawyers, to further the cause of justice. And the bar also has a long legacy with that. And so we are seeking to be the bridge between many aspects of the community where there is not a good relationship with law enforcement, and also a resource for law enforcement as well. We really want to lessen and prevent the types of incidents that we have seen across the country. And I will tell you that in pulling together this initiative, it's something I was passionate about and talked about as I was sworn in, and it was an overwhelming task to try to bring together such diverse constituencies and how we would get everyone on board and willing to work together. And I've been very pleased that it certainly has been a lot of work, but it has come together. It could not have come together in a better way. You were talking about the program. I will say that it is open to the public. We want this to educate the community. That's part of the reason that we're doing this. But we've got folks from all camps on board. We have the police chief for the city of Atlanta, George Turner. We have the executive director of the Georgia Association of Police Chiefs. We have lawyers who have sued police departments. We've got Chris Stewart, who was a lawyer in the Scott case that got a lot of media attention. We've got Chuck Spejos, who is also involved in litigation involving allegations of police misconduct. We've got a broad array of participants who are part of this, and that's what I firmly believe, is that we need everyone on board in order for us to be able to have a successful initiative that really is impactful. You know, it's great for us to have a panel discussion, but I want there to be something that comes out of it that is concrete.
You're answering my next question, which is, you know, what do you want out of this? What's your dream?
All right. So a couple things. One, this is a multi-tiered problem and issue. As far as this being a resource for the community, we are already working in the school system. We have a school outreach part of this initiative where we are working with high school students in particular at this time. And we have met already with almost 1,000 local area high school students and talked with them about the Fourth Amendment and talked with them about their legal rights. And we talked with them about suggestions and strategies for preventing escalating conflict with law enforcement unnecessarily. We've talked with them about, just because you can do something under the law doesn't mean that you should. And so it is our goal to give helpful strategies to the community so that incidents and encounters do not escalate to the extent, and I want to make it clear, I'm not blaming the citizen in many of these police-citizen encounters that go wrong. What we're saying, though, is that there are things that are helpful in terms of avoiding escalating conflict. And so we want citizens to be aware of those and to engage in those and to avoid things that might turn an encounter into a negative interaction or worse. The other part of this is training for law enforcement. I'm pleased that we have been able to obtain training credits through the Georgia Association of Police Chiefs so that the police chiefs who attend the program on Thursday will be able to receive training credits.
Great.
For this also. So again, a resource for the community and for law enforcement.
Okay.
There are other aspects or other things that I'd like to come out of this where we can be a resource to law enforcement and the community. We are hopeful that we will have community forums to talk about those same issues with the community. We need to have a discussion about training. We need to have a discussion about accountability when there are officers who are not behaving in the way that they should, who are violating citizens' rights, constitutional rights, that there is a mechanism for the removal of officers
right.
who fall into that category. I think there is a lot of concern about there being this culture of silence and a reluctance to root out those officers who should not be officers. Again,
right.
We know that most of them are exemplary human beings, but there are some who are not.
As there are in all professions, even journalists and lawyers. Okay, Harold Franklin, president of the Atlanta Bar Association. You are a litigator by profession. You have to some cases up for the jury. Okay, your jury is now this radio audience. In sum, you know, what do you want people to know? What are you trying to achieve? What's your goal as president of the Bar Association in this arena? What's the change you want to create?
The change I want to create is getting the legal community engaged in furthering the cause of justice. I think historically lawyers have played a major role in civil rights. I mean, our country is vastly different today than the way it was just one generation ago. Much of that, in addition to civil rights leaders, has been the result of lawyers who have gotten involved and been on the right side of history in ensuring justice for all. There should be trust. There's a sacred relationship between law enforcement and the citizens who are being protected. And again, it's about restoring that trust, building that trust where it does not exist, and again, being on the right side of history. And I think that as lawyers, it is our duty to further that cause, to be involved. I see this as a civil rights issue in many ways. And so that's part of the goal also. And I think we have the right people at the table to have the kind of discussion, even discussion about proposed changes in the law to the grand jury system here in Georgia. You know, Georgia is very unique. It's the only state in the union that has this procedure where accused law enforcement officers are allowed to sit in on the entire grand jury proceedings and
really?
To, at the end of that proceeding, to give a closing statement, or you, if you will, and not be subject to cross-examination. And so
that
allows...
That's pretty unique.
I think so. You will see proposed legislative changes in the legislative session that will address that issue or attempt to address it. That is something that, of course, has... Many people view that as something that is counterproductive, that prevents or detracts from trust in the system. When officers who do engage in the types of conduct that we've seen across the country are not held accountable, that further erodes the trust that is there. We've got a judicial panel also that will, the Supreme Court, federal and state court judges who will talk about these issues from their perspective. We've got really, the last thing I will say is Georgia Appleseed is a program that we have partnered with, a wonderful nonprofit organization that engages the legal community in civil rights work and other pro bono work. We have partnered with Georgia Appleseed, and there is a comprehensive report, including proposed changes, legislative changes, the grand jury procedures, and just changes that have resulted from discussions with people across the state. That report will be presented for the first time publicly in Metro Atlanta at the program on Thursday. So we're excited about that as well.
Okay. All right, now this really will be the last question. There are a lot of things you could have done as Atlanta Bar Association president. I'm going to ask, why does this matter? Why does this matter of equal justice under the law matter to you, Harold Franklin?
Well, again, I think it's an issue when justice is denied to any citizen. We are all less secure because of it. But I will tell you that this is something that personally I can relate to as an African-American man, certainly in terms of the interactions with law enforcement. Again, I've got law enforcement family members, but I also can relate to what it feels like to be profiled or to be stopped wrongly or to be, in situations that are really not appropriate. And so, again, most of my interactions with law enforcement have been very positive, and those of my relatives, and my brother is also a lawyer, but we have experienced the negative aspects of this too. And I think it's important that we all do what we can when we're in a position to do so. And I'm happy to further this cause as being one that affects all of us, not just minorities, not just those who are disproportionately affected according to the statistics, but all of us, that all of us should be disturbed when any citizen's constitutional rights are deprived of them. And so it's an important issue. It's one I'm passionate about, and it's one that I hope continues beyond my term as Atlanta Bar Association president, and I certainly intend to help that to happen.
Harold Franklin, partner at King & Spalding and president of the Atlanta Bar Association, thank you for coming and talking about the Equal Justice Symposium coming up at Georgia State on Thursday.
Thank you, David.
My guest is Harold Franklin. He is the president of the Atlanta Bar Association, also a partner at King & Spalding. We're talking about the Equal Justice in Law Enforcement Symposium. Harold Franklin is my guest, a partner at King & Spalding, president of the Atlanta Bar Association, talking about an upcoming bar event, the Equal Justice in Law Enforcement Symposium. It's David Lewis at 7:30 this morning. I'll be talking about equal justice in law enforcement. It's David Lewis. At 4:30 this afternoon, I'll be talking about equal justice in law enforcement. My guest will be the president of the Atlanta Bar Association. It's David Lewis. At 7:30 this morning, I'll be talking with the president of the Atlanta Bar Association about an upcoming symposium about equal justice in law enforcement.